What we heard first of all was a talk on when will Jesus return. And this was from Matthew 24, 36 to 25, 13. So Matthew 24, let me read first of all verses 36 to 44. And the wrong assumption for us to be listening out to here is that Jesus is not coming back at all. Many people, most people in our world believe he's not coming back. Even some so-called Christians who are liberal believe he's not really coming back. Even some evangelicals can slip into functionally acting as if he's not coming back. So listen out for that in Matthew 24, 36 to 44. Jesus says, "But concerning that day and hour when I'm going to return, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven nor the Son, but the Father only. For as were the days of Noah, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, having a great time, life was normal, lots of fun, until the day when Noah entered the ark, and they were unaware until the flood came and swept them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect." So there's the first assumption. Jesus not coming back at all. Then the next section was verses 45 to 51. And here, listen out for the wrong assumption that Jesus is going to be ages coming back. He'll take so long it's basically irrelevant. Definitely not for thousands and thousands. It's kind of theoretical. It's going to be ages. Listen out for that in Matthew 24, 45 to 51. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his master has set over his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over his possessions. But if that wicked servant says to himself, 'My master's delayed,' and begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he does not know, and will cut him to pieces and put him with the hypocrites in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So Jesus not coming back at all. Jesus not coming back for ages. And then the third and final assumption was that Jesus will come back really, really soon. In other words, this is a sprint, not a marathon. We don't have to hang in for the long haul. We just a flash in the pan would do, because he's coming back any minute for sure. And listen out for that in 25, 1 to 13, before I then hand over to you and your groups. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish and five were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was the cry, 'Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all the virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.'" Everyone thought they were Christians. They thought they were Christians. They're calling him Lord. "But he answered, 'Truly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" So that was what we heard yesterday morning. And the big outbox for that is keep watch, keep watch. In the second talk, in a couple of minutes, we'll think about what that means in practice. But there will now be some questions coming up on the screen for us in our groups. So let's take just about 5 or 6 minutes in your groups. Number one, which of the three mistaken views that we just had am I most likely to lapse into? Each of us will have a tendency, a signature sin, an area of susceptibility that we're prone to. So which one might it be for me, that he's not coming back, that he's not coming back for ages, or that I don't have to hang in that long because he's going to come back any minute, for sure. Number two, what would be some giveaway signs in my life if I were to lapse into that view? So whichever of those three you're most vulnerable to, what would be the signs in your behavior that you've started to think like that? And number three, what are some specific practical ways in which I can keep watch? Do people need me to remind us of the three views, or are there enough in each group who remember what they are? Fantastic. We're going to have some really quiet music. Let me pull us back together in about 5 or 6 minutes, and I'll leave those questions up on the screen. Thanks. Here you go, Rick. All right, let me pull us back together, please. So that was the first talk. The second talk then answered that last question, how can we keep watch? And Mark's title for the second talk yesterday was, how can I be ready for Christ's return? How can I be one of those bridesmaids who don't doze off? And this was Matthew 25, 14 to 30. And he had three simple, basic headings, 3 points. So I'll read Matthew 25, 14 to 30 in those three blocks. And the first was verses 14 to 18. Matthew 25, 14 to 18. And listen out here for the truth that Jesus commands us to make a profit. Matthew 25, 14. For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He had received the 5 talents, went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. So also he who had made the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. And you'll remember Mark argued for how he wasn't overly dogmatic on it, but he would push for those talents equaling not talents primarily, but people, God's people, and how incredibly precious and valuable we are. We are part of Jesus' body. If Jesus is the head, we're part of Jesus' body. Mark was talking sums of hundreds of thousands of pounds. You know, that's how the analogy works in Jesus' culture. And so the first thing is Jesus commands us to make a profit. In other words, to make the people around us grow, to help them grow. That's what a profit is. And then the next thing is Jesus rewards those who make a profit. He rewards those who are going to help his people grow. And this is verses 19 to 23 of Matthew 25. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also went, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And Mark, do you remember Mark doing all this business? Semaphore. This is how we basically, the basic categories of how we make profit, help people grow in faith in God and love with each other. The vertical, help grow in faith, and this, as we grow in love for each other. And he talked about what the reward is. If you look in verse 21, the reward is honor from Jesus. Talked about that's what we're going to have framed on our wall in our heavenly home for the rest of forever. That moment when Jesus said to us, well done. You know, well done, Rob, and well done, Wilson, well done, Rihanna, well done, James. And the reward will take the form of responsibility as well, verse 21. And then the reward will take the form of joy and happiness, verse 21. And of course, he pointed out the greatest thing about heaven won't be the eternal golf courses and the spas and the sweet shops where everything's free and you don't get tooth decay. There will be great stuff in heaven. It'll be a place of happiness and joy. The greatest thing will be with Jesus. Enter into your master's joy. And everything else in creation will pale into nothing compared just to the joy of being in the presence of Jesus. And the third and final thing before I hand over to you and your groups again was that Jesus punishes those who make no profit. And this is verses 24 to 30. So Matthew 25, reading from verse 24. He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. And those verses aren't saying that God is like that. Those verses are saying that that servant thinks God is like that. So this third servant had a very weird, twisted, skewed view of what his master was like, what God is really like, from verse 26. But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant," means lazy. "You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And in the final few verses, we see this punishment takes the form of loss, verses 28 and 29, and fear, verse 30, and despair, verse 30. It's horrific. It's a very, very dark, disturbing picture. And the final thing to note in this section before I hand over to you is what Jesus says is not, "Well done, good and successful servant." We're not obliged to be successful. Whether or not we're successful, whether or not people do grow around us, the results column's up to the Lord. What Jesus says is, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Did you try?" You can sleep at night and have peace over whether or not you succeeded and people around you grew, but did you try? That's our job, just to try, just to be faithful. And for those of us who prove our faith to be real by seeking to make a profit, seeking to grow those around us in love and faith, we get the amazing reward of responsibility and honor and happiness and joy. So, questions for the next 4 or 5 minutes. Let's have the next slide. Okay, you've got to have really quick eyesight and quick brains. Photographic memory is needed. Here we go. What would you say to someone who said, "I'm just a normal rank and file Christian"? Can you see that back there? "I don't have any special responsibility towards other Christians. You know, I'm not a staff team member or an elder or anything. Jesus won't mind I didn't make a profit because at least I didn't lose what he gave me." I'll leave that up there. What would you say to your friend, your Christian friend who says that? And the second question is, what are practical ways we can be making a profit for Jesus in the year ahead? i.e. helping each other grow in faith in God and love for each other. 5 minutes, and then we'll come back together for the final section. What would you say to the person who says that first thing? Yeah. Yeah.
Yesterday, giftings.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah, it was encouraging to say, like, if there's something that we're good at that can bless people, do it to the max.
Yeah.
Just go all out.
Yeah.
It's just interesting. You can find something that you're kind of good at and that can be helpful. But you maybe don't always put everything into it.
Yeah.
If you put enough into it where it can be good, but you can make it better.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. The really scary thing for me is the first one in this parable isn't just a dysfunctional Christian. He thinks he's just a kind of a low achieving Christian. But what does the passage from chapter 25 at the end of that section from the last verse 30? What does chapter 25 verse 30 say about the person who says that? Yeah. Right. Weeping, gnashing of teeth. And we're not saved by growing others and making a profit, but we're saved by faith. But if our faith is real, then we will be. So the Christian says, "No, I don't need to bother." Jesus says, you may not be a Christian, you know. Quick brainstorm right now. The second question there, Gary. What are practical ways we can be making a profit, i.e. helping each other grow in faith and love?
Meeting with people out of Sunday.
Yeah, yeah.
So not just being Sunday church.
Yeah, friends, yeah. Actually, yes, yes, like yes. Yeah.
Maybe for the specific garden studies in the garden, but actually just doing things together.
Yeah. Well, what are some of the ways you try and help grow others? Hi.
So it's the same as James, but what I used to do is I used to show a lot of scriptures on Facebook.
Oh, yes, yes. Go back to doing that, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are just watching on
Pastor. Yeah. I think when you play the cajon, that's you helping us grow in our love and faith. That's a wonderful thing you do, bro. I think another great way that you prove your faith to be real by helping others grow is just when you turn up on Sundays, turn up to growth group. Just your presence encourages others. They're like, yeah, there's Gary, he's still going for it, he's still a Christian. Yes.
It's easy to just spend time with a lot of younger people.
Yeah.
If you're older, older people. Our group was quite diverse. You know, we had a few 20s, 20s, 30s.
Yeah.
People in Tampa Bay.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, yeah. And you can be, like, it's weird, there's not like a, you can be friends with people different.
Yeah, yeah, different generations.
Different,
yes, yeah, yeah.
And it's really encouraging because they've
yeah. Yeah.
I think we've probably got some things we can help them. I guess maybe also with the younger ones, obviously maybe more with work with
yeah.
the kids on a Sunday, but I think people can be encouraging to them. Obviously the kids
yeah.
can be encouraging to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I guess interacting with different age groups and not kind of isolating them.
Yeah. Yeah. True. Right, last one. Okay, let me pull us back together. One final section. The talk we heard yesterday afternoon was Matthew 25, 31 to 46. So the last third of the chapter, Matthew 25, 31 to 46. And the title was, What Will We Be Judged On When Christ Returns? And you'll remember this arresting image of the exam of our lives. And you turn over the paper and there's one question on it. So we'll come to that in 1 second. Let me read, once again, Matthew 25. First of all, I'll just read 31 to 40. And the point here is that the sheep on the right are blessed. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you prepared, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me. So just notice the kingdom that we inherit is what was prepared for us from the foundation of the world. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by what we do, because this reward was prepared for us before we even existed. We're saved by faith, but our faith is shown to be true or not by what we do. And let's now look at the goats on the left accursed, 41 to 46. Then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So Mark talked about annihilationism. We don't believe annihilationism, that people stop existing if they're judged. The truth as given to us by Jesus is much more terrible than that. This is eternal. Verse 42, for I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not welcome me. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not visit me. Then they also will answer, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? See, they're calling him Lord. As far as they're concerned, they're signed up Christians. Then he will answer them, saying, truly, I say to you, as you did not do it to the least of one of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Just one other thing to note before I hand over to you shortly. When we do things to Jesus' people, it's as if we're doing things to Jesus. So if James serves Gary in some way of kindness, on the last day, Jesus will say to James, now what's the evidence for whether your faith was real? Ah, yes, you did that thing for me. James goes, when did I do that for you, Jesus? And Jesus will say, well, when you did it to Gary, you were doing it to me. But this isn't just about being do-gooders and doing nice to anyone and everyone we come across in the world, though we should, because notice the crucial little phrase in verse 40. The king says, truly, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers. So this is about us serving and loving each other as believers. And Mark showed the helpful verse, Galatians 6:10, to good to all people, especially to those of the household of believers. That's the evidence on which our faith will be judged, how we were towards the household of believers, how we were towards each other. Okay. Final thing. So, as I said, Mark framed this in terms of the exam of your life. And you turn over the paper, and in the middle of the blank sheet of paper is one question, and it's to you from Jesus. And it says, simply, how did you serve me? What I want us to do now is have a look at the next couple of questions. Number one, list as many ways as you can in the next 3 minutes. Just brainstorm. Maybe someone wants to write a list, which we can allow ourselves to be defined by, but which are irrelevant to the exam of our lives. Mark started this off yesterday. Whether or not you're married, whether or not how many kids you have, your grades and your human exam, how much money you have, the size of your house, etc., etc. But do a brainstorm, come up with a list, and then the final thing is number two, what are some ways we can be serving Jesus in Redeemer, aka serving and loving each other in the year ahead? Let's take 3 minutes for your list, your brainstorm, and then another 2 or 3 minutes for the second question, and then we'll close with a brief time of prayer. So let's do that now. Go on, let's shout some things out.
creation was young. We don't need calligraphy to write a fancy story. Kings and queens would turn a page to find what we've been holding. You and me, we can take the world.
All sweethearts give sweet compliments, but our love goes without saying. Though you make it hard not to steal my heart every time I see you swaying. Darling, you and me, we can take the world, darling.
Cause they can write stories, they can sing songs, but they don't make fairy tales to climb mountains high into the sky, but they can't take the world. Oh, life, we can take the world.
Oh, I can see the future, you and me, we last forever. In the rising tide, no fear of fight that we can't face together.
Okay, can I pull us back together one last time just to say, let's pray. Within your groups, let's take 5 or so minutes now to pray in anything from the weekend, anything we've just looked at, Matthew, or anything else that's on your heart. In our groups, 5 minutes, and then I'll explain what's happening next. Let's pray. I'm just going to get them to turn it down a touch. Can you turn it down just a touch? Thanks a lot.
For it, but also wanting to serve the best we can while we're still here on earth. And would you pray that you will know us on that day when you come back, that we will be Christians, true Christians, then we will be called by you to heaven. I pray that we won't be false Christians or fall away over the years and burn out, flame out.
Amen. Lord, I thank you so much for how Gary does seek to make a profit. You've given him people around him to invest in and to help grow. And Lord, when he uses his musical gifts faithfully, when he turns up on Sundays and growth group and is a gatherer to encourage others to come out for food, Lord, thank you for those ways in which he is being a faithful servant. And Lord, please sustain him, keep him doing that even more. And would he get joy from that and an amazing reward from you, Lord Jesus, on the last day. Amen. Let me close with a final prayer. Father God, thank you for the teaching of the Lord Jesus that you've put before us as a church this weekend, Lord. In your providence, for whatever reason, you decided that's what we needed to hear at this season. We pray we wouldn't miss it. Lord, help us not to slip into living as if Jesus will never come back, or that he'll be ages in coming back, or that he'll come back really soon. Lord, help us to think that he could come back before Sunday lunch in an hour. Or he might not come back for a long time, and therefore we have to be in it for the long haul and persevere. Lord, whatever the case, help us to keep watch. And help us to keep watch by making a profit, Lord, by investing in and helping to grow the precious, precious people who are your children, who we're surrounded by. Lord, thank you that not only can we make a profit, but our Master, the Lord, says we must make a profit. And thank you for the amazing reward coming to his servants who do make a profit, Lord, who do help those around them grow in faith and love. Lord, thank you for the honor and the responsibility and the joy and the happiness that you're going to pour over us for all eternity. But Lord, help us also to take notice of the truth that there will be righteous wrath for those who made no profit, who thought they were Christians but gave away that their faith wasn't real because they never bothered trying seriously to help grow those around them in love and faith and to serve those around them. And Lord, help us to have peace knowing that we're just called to be faithful. We're not called to be successful. So at least help us to be faithful in trying to invest and encourage in those around us. And Lord, finally, help us. Lord, we want to be the sheep on the right, not the goats on the left. We don't want to have the nastiest shock of our existence when Jesus returns. Lord, help us to remember that what we do to each other, we're doing to Jesus. And therefore, help us to pass the one exam of our entire lives that matters. Nothing else matters a jot compared to this. Help us to have an answer for you, Lord, when we stand before you face to face, as each of us surely will, and you ask us, how did you serve me? Help us to get serving you in the meantime this coming year by ministering to your body, who are our fellow members of this church. Lord, we pray in all of these ways that we would be ready for and rejoice in your return. And Lord Jesus, please come back soon. Please come back soon. Amen. Okay.